This week we want to talk about the simplicity of Christianity. And I want to ask, bear with me. How many of you here are Christian? Put your hand up. You say you are a Christian, you put your hand up. Okay, wonderful. Bear with me, I'm going to ask some questions. How many of you here would say that you are born again? Put your hand up. You're born again. Okay? Some hands went up, some hands went up first time. Didn't go up a second time. You get them glad you're in this sound. How many of you here would say that you are a believer? You're a believer, okay? Hands are going up. How many of you would say that you're redeemed? Hands are going up again. How many of you here would say that you're saved? You would use that word, so you're saved, okay. Let's read our text. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve, by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity." There's the word for the series, the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's move back, through the book. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I pray, Father, that you would have your way in this service today. We ask you that you would magnify your Son Jesus. Save those that do not know you. Father, I pray that you would encourage the weary saint. And I pray, Father, most of all, that you would meet with us, that we would leave this seeing Jesus high and lifted up. And God's people said with a loud, victorious voice,
"Amen."
Many of you lifted up your hand to all of those titles, all of those words that I said. And most of you that are Christians, you lifted up your hand. I want you to bear with me for one more time. If you would say that you are converted, lift up your hand. Okay, we have that. See, when I'm looking at Christianity, and so we looked at the simplicity that was in Christ. We're talking about the simplicity of a Christian. When we look at it, when we look down deep into what it is, what does it mean to be a Christian? What are the essential parts of our life that we need if we're going to say that we are Christians? And I think that many of those words that we recognize, Christian, born again, these are things that have happened to us. We've become born again, believe. This is something that we do within us. We believe. Redeemed, saved. Again, these are words that have happened to us because of what Christ has done. But when you look at this text, the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, how many know that's what a Christian is? Someone who's in Christ. That's why you're called a Christian. Christian, Christ. That's what it is. You're a Christ follower. And so when you say you're a Christian, it means that you're in Christ. And the Bible says here, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And I ask people here, pop your hands if you say that you are converted, you put your hand up. When you boil Christianity down to its simplest, what it is someone who has been converted. That is it at its simplest. If you are a Christian, if you are someone that identifies yourself, you would say, "Yes, I'm a Christian." What we would look to see on your life, what we would look, when we look at you, we don't know if you're believing or not by just looking at you. We don't know if you've been born again by just looking at you. We don't know if you're redeemed. You don't get redeemed and then there's a sticker, "I'm redeemed," on your head. It comes out of your skin or your pores. But one thing we should be able to look and say, you're converted. You're changed. You're different. And this is what it is when we boil it down to its simplest. Converted means you've become a new man or woman. In the text, he says this, "All things have become new." All things have become new. If you're in Christ, there has to be something which is new in your life. What we're saying is as simple as this, you've changed. Look at someone and say, "Have you changed?" Look back and say, "You too." The issue is, have you changed? If you are a Christian, you should have changed. This is it. This is where, because what we're getting now today is the simple. Remember, you can say, oh, I've got a Bible and it's this big. Wonderful. You can say, oh, I've been here and I've been there and I've been on a religious pilgrimage to here and I've done all this religious stuff and I know these religious people and I've been in this religious building and I've wear these religious clothes. And whatever that means, I don't know. You must have the answer. But I will say this. Have you changed? Because we're talking about keeping it simple here. Have you changed? Another way of saying it. Have you moved from your old life into a newer life? Have you moved from your old life to a newer life? Because that is what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has changed and they are moving from the old them to a newer them. See, the Bible shows us this. If you move in Christian circles, you'll hear a word and you'll speak about, I ask Jesus into my life. I've never heard of that. Yeah. I ask Jesus into my life. And I'm not going against that is wrong. Listen to me, I'm not saying that's wrong. But what I'm saying is that when we look in the Bible, what we see is, yes, there is a receiving of Christ. The Bible says many have received him. But what the Bible shows us is asking Jesus in by repenting. Asking Jesus in by repenting. There's a word, repentance. Say that word with me. 1, 2, 3.
Repentance.
That was a test. Let's try that very thing. 1, 2, 3.
Repentance.
This is what the Bible speaks about. Repentance. Really and truly, we don't see many times people going up to people saying, ask Jesus into your heart. Ask Jesus into your life. What we see is repentance. Matthew 3 verse 1.
It says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is within arm's reach. It's here, it's accessible now. That's what the Bible says.
Now if you know your Bible, you'll know that John the Baptist is known as the forerunner. He is the beginning of the kingdom of God. He came preparing the way for Jesus. Even Jesus says, the kingdom of God started with John the Baptist. It came down with John the Baptist, and so the Bible is saying here, the first thing that John the Baptist starts preaching is repent. The first thing that we say, look, it's got the exclamation marks. The first thing he says, repent. Not ask Jesus into your heart. Not go to church. He says the first thing, he says, repent. You've got to repent. The first thing, the beginning of the kingdom of God, the pre, is repent. Matthew 4 verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent. I don't know if they have that scripture or not, but this is what Jesus said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, when Jesus started preaching, he said the same thing. Jesus, when Jesus preached, he said the same thing, the exact same thing. Repent. So we have the guy that is the forerunner to Jesus, the kingdom of God. We have Jesus now who comes. The first thing he says is, again. The first thing Jesus says is,
repent.
And so we're starting to see some consistency here in what God is really talking about. Okay, the guy that went first said it, Jesus said it, then after Jesus dies on the cross, resurrected, the Holy Spirit comes down, the beginning of the church, when the disciples start to do their mission, Acts 2 verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The first thing the guy before Christ says, who's preparing the way for Christ, the Bible says repent. The first thing Jesus says is repent. The first thing that when the church begins is repent. We don't see that it, ask you Jesus, I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying is repentance. Now most of you would know what this means in our church. If you come to our church for any length of time, you'll know. Some of you might not know. But it's good for everybody to get on board with this because I want to say to you, even if you may know this, what do you teach the people that you are discipling or following up on? Do you teach them these things? See, do you understand this? Because the word repent really means to turn around. To turn around, that's what the word repent. So the first thing John the Baptist is saying, turn around! The kingdom of God is this way. That's what he's saying. The first thing he says, you're living your life, doing your own thing, going into the world, just sitting, living your life without God. And John the Baptist says, turn around! The kingdom of God is that way. And so he wants you to start facing God, living for God, doing what God told you to do. Jesus comes and says, hey, the first thing, turn around! The kingdom of God is that way. Peter comes down and says the exact same thing again. We can't miss it. Turn around. When you turn around, you change direction. So the Bible is showing us is that, listen, the first thing it comes to when you're a Christian, the first thing you've got to understand of being a Christian or being someone who's a follower of God, you must change. Something about you has to change. You can't say I'm obeying God and you're still going in the same direction. You can't say it. This is impossible. This is what people do all the time. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Baptist. Oh, I'm a Methodist. Oh, I'm a Catholic. Oh, I'm this. I'm Church of England. Okay, you can pour all those labels on yourself. But have you turned around and changed direction?
Yes.
This is what a Christian is.
Yes.
See, there are many things you can call yourself. And there's many things we can put on the Christian sticker on. You know, you can have a Christian, you know, they have Christian bookshops. Have you ever heard of a Christian bookshop?
Yeah.
Christian bookshop. Okay. Christian music. Christian films and videos. Christian country. Have you heard of that? This is a Christian country. And so you've taken that label of Christian and put it on all these things. But when it says Christian, what it means is someone who changed. That's what Christian means. At its very basic, it means this is change. There needs to be some change of direction from doing life your way to doing life God's way. All of these words that we use, born again, this is new. You're a new person now. If you're born again, I'm a born again Christian. Is there anything new about you? And let me say this now, there is no such thing as a non-born again Christian. There's no such thing, it's not like I'm a Christian, but I'm not a born again Christian. No, there is only born again Christian. Because Jesus says, except you are born again, you shall not see the kingdom of God. So to be a Christian is just another way of saying dad or father. It's like saying I'm a dad. It comes together. A new man. Do you know so many times in the scripture it speaks about the new man? Ephesians 4, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And I urge you, do this in your own study. Study how many times the Bible speaks about the new man. The new man. And that doesn't just talk about male, it's talking about person, the new person, the new person. Being a Christian is about putting on a new person. It's about you being changed into somebody new. It's about you doing new things. It's about you going new places. It's about you saying new words. It's about you changing. And if you're not changing, and if you haven't changed, and there isn't a newness, and there isn't something different, and you're not going in a different direction, then you're not. You're not really, when we boil it down, oh, but Pastor, I know this, and I know that, and that. There needs to be a newness. I want to give you four new things that every Christian has to do. Four new things that every Christian has to do. So if you're taking notes, today is a notes day. Today is easy. Tap in your iPhone, your iPad, even those terrible Samsung things. You can use those. I'll let you use those today. We're going to pray. You need a new. You really need a new. four new things that come out of the love of God and the love of people. Last week we looked at the simplicity of Christ. Christ's teaching taught us to love God and love people. Remember that last week? You read that in your Bible? Okay, four things that as a Christian you must do. And these are very simple things. And so, and if you've been a Christian a while, don't know these things. Listen, you better get these things in your spirit because you need to teach people these things. Because I hate the people, hey, who do you hang with? Who you move with? I need help. Who are you around? Oh, this person, have they told you this? No. You've been saved that long, you can't tell them this. Maybe you don't know. Well, today we're going to wipe the slate clean, no fingers pointing. We're going to say we're going to all learn together what we need to do. Amen. The first thing of these four things is the Bible. If you are a Christian, you should read your Bible. Should read your Bible. You should read your Bible regularly. Let me prove it, because it's not going to be just saying things and I'm just saying it's my opinion. No, we get it from the Bible. 1 Peter 1 verse 23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. He says that it's the word of God that creates new life in you. You know that's what he's saying? You've been born again, you've been made new, not by corruptible things. When he says corruptible things, not by natural things. Not by just going and getting your hair done. New wig, new trainers, new Air Jordans. Maybe new old Air Jordans. Or new, when I went to where people were going crazy, the old trainers, boss, and these are the old ones, man. Okay, you can get new old ones, but you're still the same you. Because they're corruptible things, a new tie, new hair. Somebody, I need a new wife, a new husband. No. Corruptible things. What you need is the word of God. The word of God makes you new. You're birthed anew through the word of God, because the Bible says it lives and abides forever. It's like a seed that you put into the ground and it looks like nothing is happening. And when you throw that seed into the ground, all it needs is water, all it needs is sunlight, and the seed starts to break down and it sprouts out and it starts to work its way to the top. It's a miracle. Man does not understand it. Man cannot fully explain it. He can observe it. He can narrate it. That means he can speak about it. But he cannot fathom it, because it doesn't matter which way you put that seed into the ground. It will always know which is the way up. You won't put a seed into the ground and find a tree growing underground. No, the seed will always go up. The Bible says that the word of God is the seed that is a living seed, and if we put it in you, things start to birth out of you. It starts to grow. It's more miraculous. You need the word of God to grow in your spirit. If you are a Christian, you must read your Bible. Listen to what he says, 1 Peter 2 verse 2. As newborn babes desiring pure milk of the word. Again, the word of God. That you may grow thereby. See, it's one thing to be born, it's another thing I need to grow. How many thank God you grew? Yeah. I thank God I grew. I thank God I'm not the same size I was when I was born. Imagine, there's no way to preach. It just wouldn't work. And if we see someone that doesn't grow, we feel sorry for them because we say there's something wrong with them. The Bible says as a Christian, you know how you grow by the word of God. How many of you are a Christian who want to grow? Spiritually, you want to grow. You want to grow. See, the Bible's showing us as Christians we should grow. Some people think Christianity is a monument. Well, I'm a Christian now. And that's it. It's just like a monument. You go down where people died and fought in battles in World War, and they gave their lives and they're heroes, and we should remember them. But they're monuments, because nothing's going to... That's it. It's a monument to remember what they did. It's a monument to remember what they did. But your life is not a monument. God didn't just save you and that's it. God wants you to grow more like Christ. God wants you to grow in kindness. God wants you to grow in liberality. God wants you to grow in all areas of your life, your spirituality. God wants you to grow, so he's fully equipping you so that you can go into new areas and new places. You get saved, maybe you're single, and then you get married. God wants you to grow from being a single man to a married man. And some changes must take place. You need to grow into that. Then you're going to have children. Now you must grow not just from a single man who's selfish, who sits down and plays FIFA all day and never really gets up, doesn't brush his teeth, doesn't wear deodorant, doesn't change his socks. We don't want that. When you get married, you've got to do some stuff, and then you're going to have kids, and then you've got to do some other stuff. Where you can't be spending all your money on the new iPhone or new iPad. Now you've got to spend some money on some nappies. But you've got to grow. God says the word of God is what enables you to grow. See, if you're a Christian and you're ever going to change, it's the word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You feel weary in your faith. God is telling you to move forward. You don't want to let go of God. You know, sometimes we're going in the wrong direction and we hear the call of God, repent, turn around. And to turn around to go God's way. But you're thinking what you're going to lose. You're looking, I was involved in this, I'm going to do that. And sometimes we're involved in things that we shouldn't be involved in. And so you're like, I struggle to let that go, to let that go. What you need is faith. See, faith says, listen, what I'm getting is way better than what I'm leaving behind. And the reason why many people can't turn their back on the things they were doing, even though they know that it's not right, is because they think, what am I going to get? Is this going to work? You need faith. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we've seen that you're born again and things become new by the word of God. We see that you'll grow by the word of God. And we see that faith will be put into you by the word of God. How many, I'm not sure of hands, think about this. How many of you have made the word of God the central point of their life? If you are a Christian, you must read the word of God. You know, some Christians, they don't read the word of God. They don't open the Bibles until they come to church. And the pastor says, this is what we're reading today. And that's how they open their Bibles. I want to say this to you. Pastor, oh, do I have to read? You should be reading your Bible every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Do you eat every day? Some of you, we can look. We know you eat every day. You don't miss many meals. We're not going to go into it. You can look at me like that. Every day, how do you feel when you go without a meal? When you miss a meal? Now sometimes, you know, sometimes you get up late, you might miss breakfast. Sometimes you might be working hard, you miss lunch. But how many know you don't miss days and days? You pass out. Some of you spiritually pass out. Some of you are spiritually weary. Some of you dragged yourself into church today by the scruff of your neck, by the hair's breadth. You've just about come in. You come in week after week because I shake your hand about it. Because the word of God is not in you. You're not feasting upon the word of God. You're not giving yourself to the word of God. If you're a Christian, you need to be reading your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, there's something wrong. We're boiling it down to the simple. I'm not saying that you must do this, you must do that, you must do this. But the simplest thing for a Christian is to read your Bible. Yes. Number one. Hey, time is running out. Number two. You must pray. Again, I'm reminding some of you that Bible study leaders, Bible study assistants, people that are working with people and encouraging new believers. You must teach these things to the new believers of the church about the Bible. And woe be it to the Bible study leader that doesn't read his Bible. You're leading the Bible study into no. You don't know your Bible? Anyway, let's go on to the prayer. Second one. Luke 5, verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed, speaking about Jesus. I need you to understand the severity of this. I need you to understand the weight of what I'm saying here. Look at someone and say, focus. Look at someone and say, wake up. And you're sleeping now. I'm seeing that I'm looking. Wake up. Bed is for sleep, church is for listening. Amen. Luke 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continue all night in prayer to God. This is Jesus. Jesus is talking, the Bible is talking about Jesus. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Look at someone say, Jesus prayed.
Jesus prayed.
Listen, that's it. That's why I said you've got to focus on, you've got to carry the weight of this. Jesus himself prayed. We said already, let's go. I know this is simple, but a Christian is someone who's in Christ. A Christian is like Christ. How many of you agree Christians should be like Christ?
Yeah.
Okay. How many of you don't agree? A Christian shouldn't be like Christ.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're all on board. Jesus prayed.
Do you?
Yeah, you can. I don't care. You can look at me like that. I just asked the question. You didn't put your hand up. You put your hand up, then you're free. Go do what you want. You can do whatever you want. But once we say Jesus, a Christian should be like Jesus. Jesus prayed. The Bible says he often prayed. He was regularly praying. He had a routine of prayer. The Bible speaks about he would go to the temple at that hour of prayer. The Bible says that he would pray in solitude. He would go, he would get up early in the morning and go to a position and start to pray. And so there should be, as a Christian here, there should be a daily diet of prayer. There should be a daily diet of prayer. If you're a Christian, you should read your Bible every day. You should pray every day. You should really, and he said, you get up early in the morning. You should get up before you start doing everything else. Before you go and do things of the day. And you should find a secluded place, maybe in the corner of your room, maybe in another room. And you should just start to pray. God, I give you this day. Start your day with prayer. Start your day with prayer. Before I speak to anybody, I speak to God. Before I fill my day with any responsibilities, I give it over to God. Let me tell you this. Let me show you how it's doing for me. I've been saved just a little while, 18 years. And a little while after I got saved, God showed me this. God praying for me, man. Get up every day and pray. And I would see how my life would change. I would give him my work situations and work change. I would give him my family situations, family change. I would give him my financial responsibilities, finances change. I would give him my ministry worries, my ministry change. Everything I hand over to God every day. A Christian, at its basic, is someone of prayer. If you're a Christian, if you say, I'm a Christian, I follow Christ, you should be someone who prays. And if you're a leader here, you should be someone who's praying for the people of the church. I have a list. Of all the members of the church. We have a membership, we do church membership, and we do that, and I have a list, and I go through that list regularly, praying for everybody on that list. Praying for them, bringing their requests, pray that God will help them, pray that God will bless them, pray that God will heal them. Prayer. Can I say prayer changes things? Some of you, if you spent as much time complaining as you did praying, you'd be a spiritual giant. Jesus speaks to the disciples, listen, I'm talking about getting down to God. You can start small. Some people have been saved for years and they still really don't have a regular prayer life. Not healthy prayer life. If you've been saved, you know, a year or so, you should be praying regularly. You should have a regular prayer life. If you are a real Christian, you should be praying. Jesus rebukes the disciples for not praying. He rebukes them. He chastises them. Meaning he has words with them. Matthew 26 verse 40. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Say sleeping.
Sleeping.
Can I say some of you here, you can destroy your life just by sleeping. You just sleep too much. You can lose out on things just by sleeping. Some people love sleep too much. You love sleep more than Jesus. And said to Peter, what? This is what Jesus says. What? He's like, come on, man. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Yes. Jesus says 1 hour. He says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But you know what Jesus is saying here? He said, listen, it's She gets up, oh, we could pray for an hour. Now to me, some of you here, you'd be like, an hour? Pray for an hour? Like, what? What? I thought it's like, our Father, we're in heaven, and I'll be on him. That's it. We said prayer, that's all she can. In a low alcohol. That's what you're thinking. Is that a blessed trip? Let's just say we're about to see him.
Continued daily with one accord in the temple
and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Simplicity again. This is what he said. This is what they did. Simple. This is what Christians does. Simple. They said they were going to the temple and they were going from house to house. That's church and home group. That's what they did. They went to church and they went to home group. If you're a Christian, you read your Bible, you pray, and you come to church, and you fellowship. You fellowship with other Christians. A Christian in isolation is an anomaly. It doesn't exist in the Bible. We don't see it. You're trying to create something that's not there. We're saying that these are the basics. If you're not doing this, then there's something wrong. If you don't desire this, there's something wrong. Not saying that you're not Christian, not saying that you're wicked or you're evil, but there's something wrong. Sometimes you'll meet people and they say, oh yeah, I've come to church, but I'm just taking some time out now, I'm going to just be at home and read my Bible. And it sounds so spiritual. Oh, you and your Bible. You and your Bible. Wow, I wish we were at that level. I guess you've progressed. You've grown to this new level that you do not need fellowship anymore. Wrong. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. He says, don't forsake, throw off, disregard, abandon the assembly of yourselves together. He says, when the church is gathered together, don't say, no, I'm not turning up. He says, don't do that. I mean, when the Bible tells us don't do it, we shouldn't do it. The Bible says, don't do it. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on something as a Christian. This is why, as much as I can, as soon, whenever the doors of the church are open, I'm going to be there. I'm going to move things, rearrange things, sort things out. I'm going to be there. And I've done that from the moment I was saved. Before I got saved, I would visit church here 1 month, maybe for another 6-7 months, 2 years, not go to church, another, go to church there. I wasn't a Christian. I was religious. If I die for my sin, I'll be separated from God for all eternity. But when I got saved, the moment I got saved, I said, no, this has to stop. Whenever the doors are open. And I want to say to you, you're going to miss something if you're just sitting at home. And Romans 1 verse 11, this is Paul speaking, he says, I long to see you. He's speaking to the church in Rome. Not one person, because the book of Romans was written to the church, which is in Rome. He says, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. This is what Paul says. Paul says, I need to come to that church to minister to you Christians in the church so that I can impart something in you so that you can be established. You know what established means? Strengthened, settled. You're not wavy. You're not one of these Christians that you're waving about. A Muslim texts you and you're like, I don't know. Someone believes in evolution. I don't know. Someone says, oh, I don't want to be a Christian, let's go rave. I don't know. You need to be established. You need to be established and be able to... No, there should be an answer in you for the faith that you say you believe in. But many Christians you meet wishy-washy, I've debated with many of these different people. And at least at the end of the conversation, they said to me, you know what? I've not yet met a Christian that can answer me the way you answered. You know why? Because God has established me. Why? Not because of my own goodness, but because I've been in the house of God so that other ministers could come and impart spiritual gifts into me. This is what we need. If you're sitting at home, just looking and flicking through YouTube, you're not going to get there. Paul could have just said to them, if you didn't need to be in church, say, I'm just praying for you, and I pray that God's going to help you. Paul said, no, I need to come there. And you need to hear what I'm going to say. We see that. The Bible, prayer, fellowship. And the last one, and this is very important, a Christian is someone
who tells others about Jesus. A Christian is someone who tells others about Jesus. If you are a genuine, real Christian, you pray, you read, you come to church, and you tell others. And I think this is where most Christians fail the most. Jesus says this, Matthew 4 verse 19, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And what he's talking about is that I'm going to allow you to capture other people, to speak to them so that they will come follow me, fishers of men. It's not like fishing for men, like a woman. No. He's talking about witnessing. This is what it says, Acts 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that you shall be witnesses to me, witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, listen, you need to be a witness. Say witness. Every single Christian is a witness. Every single Christian should be telling people about Jesus. Are you telling people about Jesus? If you're a real Christian, are you telling people about Jesus? Do you feel that burden? Do you know every day I feel that burden? I should tell someone about Jesus. I should be telling someone about Jesus, somewhere, somewhere along the line. You should be telling people about Jesus on your job. You should be telling people about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying go into work, don't work, just sit there and witness over your Bible. No, you need to work. It employs you to work. But unless you're in a silence job, most jobs allow people to talk about the World Cup and what about football and about how bad England is and how bad the weather is and how bad everything is. And so when people talk about those things, why can't we talk about Jesus? Why can't you talk about Jesus? In school, do you talk about Jesus? In university, do you talk about Jesus? In your family, do you talk about Jesus? The Bible says that God's looking for us to be a witness. And this is the most severe. This is, let me give you something that's so serious about this. Is that if you claim to be a Christian and you're embarrassed, you're ashamed, you do not want to speak about Jesus, Jesus speaks to that attitude. And you say, well, I leave that for the pastor, I leave that for the disciples, I leave that for that, that's their ministry. No. Witnessing about Jesus is every Christian's responsibility. Every Christian's responsibility. Jesus says this in Luke 9 verse 26, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father and of the holy angels. You know what the Bible is saying is that if you're ashamed to talk about Jesus now, if you're ashamed to speak about Jesus today, while you're living and breathing on earth, there's going to come a day when Jesus returns and says, listen, hey Jesus, I'm here. Yes, I called myself a Christian. Yes, it's me. Jesus, it's me. Woo! And Jesus is going to look like one of those people when you wave to them, they don't know you. Have you ever waved to them? They forgot that they knew you. Hey, how you doing? Or maybe sometimes, have you ever waited for someone you didn't know? You're like, hey! That's how they're like, hey, 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 because they look at you like, huh? And you realize, oh, I'm in this. People of Jesus, and he's going to look at you. And say, I don't know you. I'm ashamed of you. Because you was ashamed of me. You was embarrassed to speak about me in school. You was embarrassed to talk about me. You was ashamed to lift your voice and let them know about me. A Christian is someone who's changed, church. Not just changed for changing reason. I go to church. No. You've met Jesus. A light has been turned on. The Bible says in the text, all things become new. Have you met Jesus in a way where he's changed your life? This is what a real Christian is. That you've met Jesus in a way where you realize, oh, he's changed my life. He's changed the way I see God. He's changed the way I see, he says, all things become new. We're not just talking about coming to church, singing some songs. Has everything become different to has everything become different? That's what a real Christian is. The way that you see God now is totally different. I was a sinner, living my life, chasing women, drinking, coming to church, and I came into one service and I got challenged. I met with Christ, God got hold of my heart, and I remember leaving, seeing everything different. That's what it is. Has that happened to you? Is there a time in your life when you remember that happened to you? Because if it did happen to you, you could remember. When did it happen to you? Oh, I've always been like this. Well, then you're not new. Then it hasn't happened to you yet. You must remember a time. What time was it that this happened to you? That you met with Jesus? There must be a date. I can remember. 14th of January, 1996, on Old Kent Road. I remember. It must have been about 8:30, because I was at the end of a service on a Wednesday night, and the guy was preaching, and something happened to me. And from that day, life changed. Has that happened to you? You may not remember the day and the time like me, but you must remember the week, must remember the month, must remember when, where, and how it happened. Because if you haven't yet, then nothing has changed. If a blind man was to receive sight, he would remember it. If a man was born blind his whole life, one day was to receive sight, he would remember it. He would remember it. He would never forget it. And the Bible says that when Jesus comes into our life, his light steps into our darkness and we can see. I was living my life without Christ. I was groping around life. I was trying to find fulfillment. And some of you are like that. You're trying to find happiness in a job or in a relationship, in a girl or in a guy or in money. And it's like the lights are off and you're just groping around, feeling things. Can I say, when Jesus comes into your life, the lights turn on. The lights turn on. And you can see directly what really is what it is. That's what a Christian is. That's what's changed us. Not that we pulled up our bridges or we got our act together or we turned over a new leaf. No, we met with Jesus, the light turned on, and he changed us. We met him and he changed us. Has that happened to you yet? Have you enrolled in a religion? Have you just started coming to a church? Have you just said, oh, I'm going to be a new member? That is not what's going to change you. Jesus is going to change you. When you see him in his fullness, maybe some of you have grown up in this church. You're here if you come because your parent comes. Can I say to you, when I always come, so I'm here. Have you met Jesus yet? Because if you have not met him yet personally, as a personal savior, then nothing is going to change. Because when we boil Christianity down to its basic, have you changed? See, the Pharisees were religious, the Sadducees were religious, and they put Jesus on the cross. And maybe some of you right now, as I preach this, angry and agitated. Because that's the religious spirit in you that always wants to fight against what Christ will do. Self-righteousness. Have you received your sight? Christian, are you still changing? 2 Corinthians, last scripture, 3 verse 18. But we, with unveiled face, meaning the veil has been taken off. We can see Christ. We can see something about him now. That we, his glory, his light, he's shining in upon us. Behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We've seen his glory, his shininess, his brightness is coming to our lives. And are being transformed. That means we're changing because his light has shined into our lives. Into the same image. Meaning we've seen Christ. He's so glorious that he shined into our lives. And now we're being transformed into someone who's like him. We love people like him. We forgive like him. We give like him. We're more like him because we've seen him. Listen, you may see the pastor. That ain't going to save you. You may know me, that ain't going to save you. You may have seen the church, that ain't going to save you. You may have seen a few things in the Bible, seen a few brothers, few sisters. Listen, have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus in such a way that his glory is shining in upon you? Or is there still a veil on some of you? Well, I'm not discarding you, I'm not throwing you away. I'm saying we need to remove the veil today. We need to remove that veil today from your heart so that you can see Jesus in a whole new way, a fresh way. His glory can shine in and then you start to become transformed. and you start to become like him.
And even if you have experienced that, listen, old Christian here, because some old Christians, they turn old and dry and crusty. And they stop changing. They change for the first year, the second year, and then they stop changing. You can't tell them enough, you can't teach them enough, you can't lead them anymore. They stayed the same, but the Bible says here that we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. You should be moving from glory to glory to glory to glory. You should constantly be changing, constantly progressing. And the problem is we start off looking at Christ changing, and then we start looking at other things. You've got to keep your eyes firmly fixed on Christ and His glory so that you can keep changing. Now you need to change. You've got new responsibilities now. You need to change. You're in a marriage now. You're in a business now. You're in a home now. You're in something else now. You're in a ministry now. You need to move constantly and be changing and be changing, because God is not finished with you yet. God has bigger plans for you than you have for yourself. God has a destiny that you cannot even hold yet in the capacity that you have. So He must stretch you and enlarge you so He can pour more into you. And this only happens by us seeing Christ.
Basic, simplistic Christianity is someone who's changing. We read our Bibles, we pray, we fellowship, and we witness as a Christian.